He just has a plan for us. And just like we were singing right there, we can live out our whole life and have an assurance of one day we're going to be forever with the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I loved Brother Donnie's testimony. That ties in perfectly with what the Lord has laid on my heart tonight. If you would, open up your Bibles to the Old Testament and for a text in the book of Psalms. And then we're going to go to Mark chapter 10. But in the book of Psalms chapter 90, Psalms 92, we'll pull a text from here. But what's on my heart tonight is how to thrive and not just survive. See, I don't know about you, sometimes I get in a rut and a routine and dealing with different things, and I think, well, if I can just survive today, or if I can just survive, get through this week, get back to the weekend, you know, everything's going to be better. And if we're not careful, we'll settle for that, and the devil will get us in that mold, that attitude, that mindset, and it's not meant to be that way. You and I, we were born to thrive. And so that's what we're going to talk about. I want to pull the text here, and then we'll look at two different examples of a person who should have and could have thrived, who had everything going for them, but they didn't. A person who was destined to not to be able to thrive, and yet he did. And so you and I, we're going to be in the place where we hear from the Lord. And when we hear from the Lord, we're going to always thrive. Amen. All right. Psalms 92. Let's start reading in verse number 12. Psalms 92, verse number 12. If you're there, say amen. The righteous might flourish. Oh, I like that better, don't you? Hallelujah. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age, and they shall be fat and flourishing. To show that thy hand is upright, he is my rock. There is no unrighteousness in him. Now, every place that you see flourish there in verse 12 and verse 13, verse 14, just think about it. Flourish means to thrive. It means to produce a blossom and a bud. In other words, to make fruit. And so you and I, we are thriving. And we need to see that. We need to stand on that. We need to believe that. Brother Donnie, would you pray? Yes.
Thank you, dear Lord. Thank you for the Holy Spirit unction in our hearts to listen, to be able to, Lord. And I give you all the praise for it. Thank you for it. Thank you.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Donnie. Thank you for honoring the word. Thank you for being here tonight. Hallelujah. Allowing us to have this great opportunity to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church, allowing us to grow together. Amen. And become a force in the earth. Come on, we are a force. The church of the living God is a force in the earth. When we're following the Word of God by that Spirit, there is power there. Sometimes we let the enemy convince us that some way or another that we're just going to make it to heaven. No, we're not going to just make it to heaven. We're going to break heaven wide open when the Lord calls us, when we've done what we've been called to do, when we've showed the devil, put him in his place, when those last day harvest is reached, we're going to split it open, amen, with a shout, with a mighty shout of the angel of the Lord. Things are going to happen. So we need to live with that mindset. But getting into this right here so we can get to the New Testament, I just want you to be encouraged tonight, and I want you to know that the Bible says that every person that is born again, that when you believe in the heart and confess with the mouth Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that righteousness of Jesus, it comes inside of you. And so the Bible actually says, and I talk about it all the time, but I just keep saying it because so many times people ask me later, now where's that at? You know, we need to know where things is at. It's not what the pastor says. It's not what the husband says. Not what the wife says. It's what the Word of God says. Amen. So 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that Jesus Christ was made sin that you and I could be made righteous. Right. Amen. So our righteousness is what Jesus has done for us. So he said the righteous, that they shall flourish like the palm tree. Now, I love it because think about the palm tree in all the desert situations. The palm tree produces fruit and the soil does not have any limiting effect on it, right? Because it goes down deep past the dry soil and it pulls roots from the living water, from that water that is there. And so you can be in a very dry situation of life, but you have an assurance that the thing around you is not producing your fruit. Because you're pulling from the rock, that you have the well of salvation that you're drawing out of John 4. You're pulling from the rivers of living water, John 7, out of your life, and you're going to flourish. But you got to know that. I've got to know that, right? We've got to believe that. And he said he shall grow up like a cedar in Lebanon. See, the palm tree and this cedar of Lebanon, they were to bring God glory. They were magnificent part of his creation. And so God is wanting us to see something in the natural that paint us a picture of how glorious those who have been born again, those who have been redeemed, saved, following sanctification, waiting for glorification. He wants you to know that people are looking at you. They're looking at the God in you. Amen. And so those things that don't add up to the Word of God, I need to lay them on the altar and I need to say, listen, you're going to have to come into the very confirmation that can be conformed out of a lie into the truth. That's what we want. That's what we're believing for, right? Now notice what he said. He said, there shall be those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. And we talked about today that when you come through Jesus there in the temple, that gate, and you come into the court of the congregation, you come into that outer court, when you're there, you come through the altar, you get saved, and you come to that laver, and the washing of the water starts coming on you, of course you're going to flourish. You're going to produce fruit. And that's something. Your life is going to produce fruit that's not temporal. It's eternal. And it's the fruit that brings the Lord glory. But it says, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. You and I, we're not limited. Don't let the devil tell us, well, our time is past. Not in the Lord. It didn't matter. As long as we're walking with the Lord, it didn't matter how old we are or where we're at in life, we can produce this fruit. Because it's not us producing it, it's us letting Him produce it through us. Amen? He said that they shall be fat and flourishing, green and prosperous, to show that the Lord is upright. See, that's what the Lord wants. He wants us to show by our lifestyle, by our faith in Him, that He's righteous, that He's upright, that He's righteous, that He can, that He will do what He said He would do. And so it's important that you and I believe that and we walk it out. To show the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. And because He's in me.
Right.
Devil, you're a liar. There's no unrighteousness in me. Amen. I'm blood washed. I am spirit filled. The Holy Ghost is teaching me some things. So that's the way we want to walk. That's what we want to believe in. Now jump up and let's read verse 7. It's not so for the wicked. Look at verse 7 in the same Psalms 92. It said, when the wicked spring as the grass. Right now we're seeing all sorts of wicked people in situations. It looks like that they're taking over. It looks like that they're getting their way. It looks like that they're bringing harm to God's people. They're bringing harm to the church. They're bringing harm to this nation. But look what it says. When the wicked spring is the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. So it's just for a season. Just for a season. You have an eternal season in the Lord. You're going to bring forth your fruit in your season until the coming of the Lord. They're going to have a season where it looks like they're winning. The devil's always had a season where it looks like he's gaining foothold and winning. He's not. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go to Mark chapter 10. And now, remember I told you that the Lord is having me to do some things different. And so we're going to have to just teach a little bit out of this chapter. Because I guarantee you, I won't guarantee you, but I more than likely you have never heard this chapter preached from one end to the other. Now, we're not going to do that, but what I mean is because of that, you've never been able to tie together the rich young ruler and Bartimaeus. And that's what this 10th chapter is about. It's about two men having two choices, asking two questions to the same Lord, and having two different outcomes in life. Now remember, Jesus is the one that makes us righteous. He's the one that makes us blossom and bud. But the reason why that is because His Word Himself, better said, is flowing in us and through us. So when He tells us, when He answers our question, we need to say, yes, Lord. Why would we want to ask the Lord a question and then throw away what He tells us? And so that's the context of how this is going to work. So go with me and let's pull this out together. Starting in verse 13, Mark 10 and 13. Now, the reason why we're including this gives you an understanding of the rich young ruler. It shows you where his heart is. It says in verse 13, "And they brought young children to Jesus, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer, allow the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God." So Jesus, anybody that's trying to get to him, he wants them. His arms are unfurled. They're opened up. And we better be careful if we get in the way of somebody coming to Jesus. It's a serious matter, right? Now notice what he said. "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." So Jesus makes this statement. And I want you to imagine that there's the people who brought the children, there's the children, and there's all of the throng, all the multitudes that's listening to what Jesus said. So all of a sudden, when Jesus makes this statement, There's something comes up in the rich young ruler's heart. So let's pick it up right there and notice what's fixing to happen. Jesus took them up in his arms and he put his hands upon them and blessed them. And when he was gone forth into the way, in other words, he's walking, he's on the next part of his journey. He's coming into Jericho to go out of Jericho to headed to Jerusalem. And it said, going forth into the way, there came one running and kneel to him and ask him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So here comes this rich young ruler. And so he's heard Jesus make this statement. And so we got to understand that when Jesus is talking about little children, you and I, we're the children of the Lord, no matter how old we are, no matter what our age is. But this is a young man of power, of privilege, and all of these things. And so he just heard Jesus make that statement, and he runs to Jesus thinking that Jesus is going to put his arm around him and tell him, "Hey, man, you don't need to do anything." See, that's what happens. A lot of times we think, because if we're not careful, if we're looking at ourselves differently than what we talked about this morning, if we're not looking into the Word to see who we really are, where we're really at, we'll deceive ourselves. And so he thinks everything is fine and dandy. Why? Because we'll get into it. "And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God." Now, why did Jesus say this? Because he is God in the flesh, but he's in the flesh. There is no good thing in the flesh. We know that. We understand that. Okay. "Thou knowest the commandments." So Jesus is talking to him. He said, "Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother." And he answered, the rich young ruler answered Jesus and said unto him, Master, all of these have I observed from my youth. See, if we're not careful, we get into a formula of what we're comfortable doing. And I'm doing this, but and I'm doing it for you, Lord. But we get comfortable because that's the easy part. See, I don't know about you. It's easy for me to do certain things for the Lord. It's easy for me to pray, to get alone, to be by myself and do those things. But when God wants me to start doing things that's out in the open, well, now, look, Lord, you know, we're doing this. Isn't that good enough? So, see, we start rationalizing. We start thinking, hey, you know, God, I'm obedient in this area and everything ought to be fine. But that opens us up to deception. It opens us up to a place of unsatisfaction because our spirit, what did Jesus say? Our spirit is willing. The flesh is weak. Flesh doesn't want to, but our spirit's willing. In other words, our spirit has done have it has a download from heaven of the will of the Father, of the plan of God, the gifts and the calling in your life and my life. And it's just like a horse. I mean, it's wanting the bit took out and it's wanting to let it go. But my flesh has got the bit in my spirit's mouth saying, you shut up. I'm not comfortable in this. I don't want to do this. Now, notice what happens. And he answered, he said to Jesus, and said unto him, Master, all of these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus beholding him. Now, I want you to see this. Now, in other words, when Jesus is beholding him, that Jesus is looking, he's in the operation of the gifts of the discerning of spirits. He's looking at this man. And as he looks at him, he's not looking with his natural eyes. He's looking with the eyes of his spirit, and he's reading this man. Did he say, you're a liar? Did Jesus argue with him? So what was this man doing? He was doing these things. He wasn't lying to the Lord. He was walking in this truth. He was walking to that point. But you see, when Jesus brings a truth to us, it's always to elevate us and get us to the next point, to where we keep thriving. Because if we're not thriving, we're just going to be surviving. And the only way we'll ever thrive is when we're walking by faith. We're testing the word. We're trusting in the Spirit to make things alive to us. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him. Don't you love that? I love that statement, how he loved him. He loved him. Jesus loves you. He looks at you and he loves you. One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give it to the poor. Give to the poor. And notice what he said, give to the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and take up thy cross and follow me. Now, once again, this is not, he's talking to the rich young ruler. This is, you know, this isn't a statement to everybody for all times. This is a statement. Jesus looks at your heart. He looks at my heart, and he has a word for our situation. So this rich young ruler, he was what? He was keeping the commandments. He wasn't committing adultery. He wasn't killing. He wasn't stealing. He wasn't lying. He wasn't defrauding, cheating anybody. He was honoring his mother and father. But yet, Jesus said, I want you to thrive. I want you to have something more. In other words, you're trusting me. You've been sanctified to that point in your life, but I want to bless you more than you've ever been blessed before. And the way I can do that is I want you to give what you're trusting in yourself, in the world, in, give it to me, where I can take care of the needs that I see around you and your life, your community, your situation. I'll meet those needs for my glory. And then the Bible is very clear, you know, when we give, it's given back to us. And so Jesus is doing this to help this young man learn how to trust him at a deeper level. Yeah. I want to trust him at a deeper level, don't you? Yeah. See, I've told you, I didn't want anything to do with this food deal. I didn't, because I just didn't. It inconvenienced me. It took extra time. It made me feel uncomfortable because I didn't want to talk to people in certain situations where I wasn't in control. But see, when you know you're supposed to do something, God gives you grace. But he also, after a period of grace, if you don't step into that grace, then comes judgment. I don't want judgment, do you? And so the only way we'll ever thrive is you have to keep challenging yourself. Come on, just think about it in the natural. When you start walking or you start running or you start doing some kind of exercise for your, it hurts. But your body gets what? Gets stronger. And so that's what the Lord is wanting desperately for this man. He's wanting him to get stronger. One thing thou lackest, go and do this, and look what happens. Verse 22, and he was sad. He was sad. Why was he sad? Because he didn't hear what he wanted to hear from the Lord. He said, now, wait a minute. I heard Jesus say, if you come to me as a little child, everything's fine and dandy. But see, a little child would say, yes, Lord. And he was sad at that saying, at that word of truth, and he went away grieved. Why was he sad? Why was he grieved? For he had great possessions. Now, think about your own life. Has the Lord ever moved on you to do anything or give anything that he didn't bless you abundantly above beyond what you gave or what you did? God's a giver. And so we see here that because of this conversation, this rich young ruler, he had a revelation of what was limiting him, what was keeping him from thriving. And all he had to do was say, Lord, I hear this word, but you're going to have to help me. If he hadn't went away from Jesus, he could have walked with Jesus. Jesus would have helped him. Come on, we've got to hear from the Lord, and we just what? We just walk with him. And he's going to help us do and be what he would have us to be. All right. Now, that's the rich young ruler. He should have been thriving in every area because he was set up with prominence and privilege in his life, but it didn't work out. So drop down to the end of the chapter, to verse 45. Verse 45. And it says, for even the Son of Man, talking about Jesus, came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And to give his life a ransom for many. Tonight, you and I, every sin that we ever done has been paid for by Jesus. Yeah. We've been ransomed. Isn't that amazing? And even if I mess up tonight or I mess up tomorrow, whenever it might be, as long as I'm walking in the light as he's in the light, I have the assurance he's going to be cleansing me from all unrighteousness. He's going to be helping me in that walk. And he's my redeemer. He's my ransom. It's not about what I could do. And notice when Jesus makes this statement, this is what happens. Verse 46. And they came to Jericho, Jericho meaning fragrant. And as he went out of Jericho, so he comes into Jericho, he goes all the way through Jericho. And can you imagine the crowd that is gathering around him because of the people who are thronging him, the people who are sensing the anointing. They're feeling the love of God that they never felt before. And so no doubt he brought a crowd with him. But as he goes through all the way through Jericho, this is a huge area. And if you look, he heals three different blind people in situation. Well, actually four, because two one time in the scenario here. Because why? This was a blinded area. Jericho wasn't supposed to be rebuilt. But see, when the smell of the anointing comes, that's when you and I need to be in the place and the position to receive. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people. So there's a huge crowd here. Look what it says. But involved in that crowd, we've got a man. And a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the wayside begging. So here we had the rich young ruler that was seeking Jesus and asking questions. We're fixing to have this Bartimaeus that's didn't know to seek Jesus until he become available. And so Bartimaeus, Bar means son, Timaeus means unclean. He's a child of an unclean situation, even though they're a part of the Jewish heritage, though they're a part of where they could call Jesus the son of David and all of those things. He wasn't raised in that. His family had pulled out of that. So he doesn't know anything about this, and he's there on the wayside. He's beside the road. Come on, every time you get off of the freeway, there's somebody there begging. That's what this word means. It means that he is not just begging, but he keeps begging and begging and begging over and over and over. Because why? Because he's going to man. See, you and I, we can go to man. I can, thank God I got Donna. Thank God I got you. And you can help me a certain amount. But there's certain things we can only go to the Lord with. And we need the Lord. Amen. And so the rich young ruler, he comes to Jesus when he could have got his affirmation from man, but then he doesn't receive the word of God. Here, Bartimaeus is receiving from man, but it's not enough. He's got to keep asking. See, when Jesus meets our need, we don't have to keep asking. Isn't that exciting? That's how we thrive and not just survive. So, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the wayside begging. Verse 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, can you imagine? See, all he's sitting there by the wayside. Just close your eyes for a minute. Just think about it. You can't see, but you have your hearing is probably heightened because of your inability to see. And he's sitting there on the side of the road. Put yourself in that place. And he sat there every day. He knew what time of the day, by the way the sun felt on him, when certain people would be coming by. He could tell by the sound of their walk. That person gave to me before. Come on, all of these things. So he's listening, and so all of a sudden he hears a commotion like he's never heard before. He's hearing a great tumult, a great noise of people. And can you imagine? He's thinking, I've hit the mother lode. I'm in the right place at the right time. I'm going to take a bag home tonight that's going to be so full that I'll have to drag it. But he's going to find something better. He's going to lay his bag down and find something better. Amen? All right. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. Come on. He lets this go out of his very heart. And he said, what? He said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. So he is a Jewish person. He's in the place and the position of being able to use this title. Remember the lady from Syrophoenicia? That had the little daughter that was demon possessed. She come to Jesus and she called him son of David. He wouldn't even talk to her because she's a Gentile. She has no right to label him that. It wasn't that time. We're in the dispensation of grace now. We're in the time of the Gentiles. But she didn't have that. And so until she come to him in the right form, he wouldn't talk to her. But here, this, he knows that he has a covenant. He's of that bloodline. And so he says, thou son of David, have mercy on me. So immediately he knows how to come to Jesus. We got to teach people how to come to the Lord. We got to teach them how to pray. We got to teach them how to receive. And God's going to give us an anointing and ability to be able to do that like never before. Amen. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 48. And many. Come on, many, mark this down. This is the way it's what's happening with the church right now. The devil is trying to close the church. We got so many churches that have not opened back up since COVID. We got so many more that are only having one service. I mean, we're in a serious situation. We're starving to death for the Word of God. God said, my people, Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of. We got to teach the word, amen? And many charged him. Now, this word charge here, it means that they were forbidding him to speak. They were rebuking him. Oh, that would never happen today. It's not altar service time. It's not prayer time right now. Come on, we got things. Did you not read the bulletin? We got a whole order here. You follow this order. And then at the end of the service, everything works out. We got time. If it's not too late, if it's not too close to lunchtime, then we'll pray about this. It's not meant to be that way. And so this word is the same word. Remember when Jesus cast the demon out of the man that was in the temple? And Jesus rebuked him and said, hold your peace. That's the same word. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried even the more. He kept crying out the name of Jesus. Jesus, thou son of David, don't let anything stop your prayer. Don't let anybody stop your prayer. Don't let yourself stop your prayer. Amen. Daniel prayed for 21 days. And what did when Michael got there, he had to help Gabriel. And when he got there, what did he say? God heard your prayer the moment you prayed it. But the prince of Persia, the devil, the principality of that area was stopping the word from being answered, that prayer from being answered. But guess what? It was answered. Amen. So don't let anything stop you. He cried. He kept crying. This covenant. That's like you and I saying in Jesus' name today, okay? When we pray. Verse 49. And Jesus kept walking. He stopped, didn't he? See, when you talk to, can come to Jesus by that relationship, that fellowship, that understanding of who He is. He's your Lord. He's your shepherd. Come on. You're His child. You're the sheep of His fold. He's going to stop what He's doing. Come on. He's on a mission. He's going to Jerusalem. But all of a sudden, He hears somebody that's calling out in covenant. Tonight, when you and I call out in covenant, you think Jesus is not going to stop and meet you and I where we're at? He's going to stop. We're going to thrive. We're not just going to survive. We're going to hear the Word of God, and He's going to do a work in our life. Amen? And Jesus stood still, and He commanded him to be called. Ooh, I like that. I want you to get this in your mind's eye now. I can't say this for assurance, but we can infer something from what's just been said here. What do you bet the very ones that were telling Bartimaeus to shut up were the ones that Jesus sent to go get him? Yeah, I would mark it down. We'll find out when we get to heaven. That's one of the questions I want to ask the Lord. I do, because I can just see, because we know how, remember, we read in Psalms 92, God is a just God. So He's going to justify that. All right. And Jesus stood still, and He commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good cheer. Be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. Now, I said be of good cheer because if you remember one of our favorite verses in John 16:33, where Jesus is teaching, He said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. That's the same Greek word. We need to be cheerful. Well, we need to have courage. We need to have, yes, comfort, but we need to have courage in the Lord, cheerful courage to know that God's hearing us. And when the enemy's coming against you, when tribulation is coming against you, God's for you. If the Bible, and the Bible says, if God be for you, thank you, Lord. Now, here Barnabas, he knows just by by the reputation of Jesus and him being, he had enough knowledge to know that Jesus was not just a teacher, not just a prophet, but he was the Messiah. Because when they say son of David, that's what they're saying. They're saying, I believe Jesus is the Messiah. Messiah means Jesus, I believe you're the anointed one. The anointed one. The anointing is what destroys yokes off our life. And so what we've got to do is we've got to be like Bartimaeus and not like the rich young ruler. We got to, when we see Jesus, we got to elevate him to his proper position. And we got to please Him and not worry about pleasing man. Can I take a side step just for a second? True story. Back in the late 1800s, there was a young pianist, and this is what he wanted to do with his whole life. Can't remember his name, but he practiced hours upon hours, and he wanted to be the greatest pianist ever. And so he was having this big concert, and there were, I mean, the concert hall was completely full. And he come to the last selection that he played, and when he finished that selection out, the whole house stood up and they went just ballistic, except one older man sitting on the front row. He didn't move. And so when the pianist got off the stage, he went around back, and his manager was so excited. He said, "Did you see the house?" He said, "Everyone stood up. They were so excited." He said, "Did you not see the old man?" And he said, "Why do you care about one old man sitting on the front row?" He said, "You don't understand anything. That one man wrote the song I just played. If he didn't stand up, then I didn't play it right." This is our song. Do I know it? Am I living it? Am I trusting it? See, I don't have to please nobody. You don't have to please nobody. We just have to please the Lord. Amen. And that's what we want to do. We want to be like this. So Bartimaeus is pleasing the Lord because he's calling out on him as the Messiah, the Savior, the anointed one that can change everything. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they call the blind man. Now see, can you imagine the difference in how man talks about you and I and how God talks about us? They want to talk about us in our past. They want to talk about us in our weakness. They want to talk about us in our limitations. But the anointed one, the Messiah, he doesn't see things that way. And they call the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." Now notice what happens. Verse 50. And he, Bartimaeus, casting away his garment. So all of a sudden, see, this garment that Bartimaeus had on, it gave him a legal right to beg. It's his livelihood. It would be like, today, you and I throwing away our Social Security card. Throwing away our bank debit card. I mean, it's what give us authority to be in a certain place and to receive certain things. And so when he heard the command of the Messiah that called him to him, you just see the act of faith here. I'm throwing this off. This is what gives me the legal right to beg. I'm laying this down because I know that Jesus is fixing to give me something better. I'm going to thrive. I'm not just going to survive. See, the rich young ruler, he wanted to hold on to what he had from the world instead of receiving what Jesus had for him. But here, Bartimaeus is saying, "Wait a minute, I've tried this from the world. It's a get by. I survive, but that's all I'm doing. I'm never going to have anything else." When you and I, when we serve Jesus, we don't worry about tomorrow. Jesus said that we just think about today. He will take care of us today. And if we tarry until tomorrow, He's going to take care of us tomorrow. Amen? And casting away his garment, he rose and he came to Jesus. Now, what did the rich young ruler do? Remember what it said in verse 22? The rich young ruler was sad at the words of the Lord, at that saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. He had all this land and money and material objects, and he held on to it. The only thing this Bartimaeus had was this right to beg, and he casts it down. Makes you think about the little lady in the temple, right? The widow, she put in the two mites, and Jesus said, "You put in more than everybody else." Isn't that something? See, God doesn't grade things the way that we do. So he casts this off, And he rose and he came to Jesus. Verse 51. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Now we look at that question and we think, that's strange. That's a strange question, isn't it? I mean, obviously, you could look at the man. You could look at his eyes. They would have a covering, a coating. They would be opaque. They would be dark. All of these things. And plus, he had to feel his way there. He had to go through this crowd who had told him to shut up. That would be very intimidating to me. It might not to you, but to me, it would be intimidating. But he gets to Jesus, and Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? See, we can have what we say. On Wednesday night, we're teaching about walking and living in forgiveness, and how when we walk and live in forgiveness, it empowers us to be able to receive all the conditional promises of God. And it shows us, Jesus teaches us how we can say and we can pray. You can pray all day long, and then you undo your prayer with what you say, or you can say what you're praying from the word, and you're going to have it. So Jesus asked him plainly, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, do I really believe that Jesus is Lord? See, I believe him for salvation, but I didn't want to believe him to get out into other areas of ministry. So I got to repent of that. And I got to say, yes, Lord, you're not just the Lord of this area of my life. You're the Lord of all my life. The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. Now, the faith here, when he called Jesus Lord, went beyond his physical healing. It took care of his spiritual healing. Because this word here, if I'm not mistaken, it's sozo, and it's saving faith, which it's saving of the spirit, the soul, the body. Because he called him Son of David. He called him Messiah, the anointed one. He called him the Lord of his very life. Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, I want you to imagine, here's this whole crowd. He's standing in front of Jesus. He's hearing Jesus. He's sensing Jesus. He's feeling him in his spirit. And Jesus tells him to go his way. I promise you that sight didn't come until he took that next step. Because, see, the next step has to be orchestrated from the Word of God. So many times in my life, I've missed out on what God wanted me to do because I was too afraid to take the next step. But see, when you hear the Word of God, that's your foundation. That's your truth. That's your confidence. Step on it right then. Because if I don't do it right then, I won't ever do it. I'm sorry, because there's an anointing to do it right then. There's grace to do it right then. And if I don't do it then, the devil will rob it from me. Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus in the way. So we've got two men, just like we were looking about in the book of Psalms. The wicked, they're not going to flourish. But the righteous, they will. See, I'm sorry, we can go to church all of our life, and if we're not doing the will of God, see, if I don't do what God tells me to do, I can come here and preach every Sunday. Every Sunday night? Every Wednesday night? Might miss heaven. What did Jesus say? It's not those who say, Matthew 7, it's not those who say, Lord, Lord, that enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's those who do the will of my Father. See, we've watered things down so much, and we let people sit down in the church and get comfortable. Oh, I'm going to church. Are you going to heaven? And immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus in the way. Jesus is that way. I am the way, I'm the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but through me. So he followed Jesus into that path of life. That's what the Lord wants us to do. So he was willing to lay down everything that he had, and he learned how to not just survive, but to thrive. The rich young ruler, even those things that he had, they were no longer satisfying. Come on, we've all been there. The things that used to satisfy me in the flesh, that's why we're always escalating and why it takes more and more and more. I want to close with this true story. How can we tell if we're in the place and the position to thrive and not survive? How can we tell that we have faith that is working and not dead faith? I'll close with this true story. I want you to go with me to the 1940s in Africa. The very latter part of the century, of the decade, there is a group of missionaries, and one of them, he is a world-renowned surgeon. I can't say the word. How do you say it? That's ophthalmologist, that's a surgeon. How do you say that? Anyway, that's what he is. And so he's got a call on his heart. He wants to spend part of his time reaching those people with the gospel and doing a work in their life. So he goes to Africa with this whole group of people. They take food, they take Bibles, and they preach the gospel. They get people saved and delivered. Well, there's this one man that they get they get him born again. And they pray for his vision, but nothing in the natural happens. So this surgeon sets it up. He said, I can fix your eyes where you can see. All I've got to do is cut the cataracts off of them where you can see. And he said, I do this all the time. This will be no problem. And he said, if the Lord doesn't work one way, he'll work another way. Amen. So that's what he done. They done this procedure. They fixed the man where he could see, and they said, now listen, you're going to have to take it easy for the next several days and all of these things and go through these protocols and all this. And so the nurse comes in to check on the man the next morning. He's not in his bed. So they're looking all around for this man because they're trying to figure out what happened to him. Well, that day turned into night. That night turned into the next day. And we go into 3 days forward. And all of a sudden, there's a knock on that doctor's tent post. And he pulls open the flap on that tent. And there stands the man that once was blind. But he's got a rope in his left hand. He's got a rope in his right hand. And there's blind people that are holding on to that rope left and right. And he went and got and brung to the surgeon. How can I tell you if my faith is working or not? Am I going and doing what Jesus said? Jesus said the works that he done that you and I could do except even greater. John 14:12. Amen. But we want to put Jesus in a box and say, Lord, you do it this way. Come on, God is doing any miracle in the earth that brings him glory, whether it's through man's hands or whether it's supernatural by the gifts of the Spirit. Let's let him be God. Come on, let's believe him. Let's trust him. Amen. Let's learn how, by hearing the word of God, we can thrive and not just survive. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you. We honor you. I thank you for your goodness and your grace. I ask you right now that you bless this group of people like never before. I know that your word says that we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings, Ephesians chapter 1, in heavenly places. Lord, let us tap into that resource and show us how we can thrive in every area of our life. Let every lie be revealed. Let every limiting work of our soul, of our body that is holding, putting the bit in our spirit's mouth, let it be cast down in the name of Jesus and help us move forward for your glory. Let it be. Father, right now, bring revelation into every one of our lives. Show us an area in our life that we are not thriving in, that you want to help us with tonight, that you want us to lay on your altar. Speak a word to us where we can cast off the provision of the natural, of this world, and we can receive the provision that you have for us that is eternal. Lord, let it be. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, and we all say together, amen. Come on, amen. Would you come? Would you come tonight and say, Lord, here I am. I'm going to cast some things off. I'm not going to trust in self. I'm not going to trust in this world system. I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to do some things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you come tonight and just say, Lord, here I am. I want to respond. I want to receive. I want to renounce and reject the limitation of the past, and I want to walk in the newness of life. Hallelujah.